I'd like to come because of better circumstances. But God is here this morning, and I feel him. And Pam, I want to stop a minute. Your flute has always blessed my heart. And that was just a special piece. Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, I feel like God wants me to talk to you about making our lives matter for God. Making our lives matter for him. Annetta and I have a friend whose brother's wife made her life count for God. Julie Ackerman Link, after a long battle with cancer, went to be with her Lord in April of 2015. Julie wrote several books that have helped change the lives of many people. In other words, she outlived her life. We were graciously given one of her books by her husband, and it is called 100 Prayers. As I begin my message this morning, I would like to pray one of her prayers titled Behind the Scenes, based on Psalm 44. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that the forces of evil taking center stage in this world are only a small part of a real drama. Forgive me for judging the entire performance by one short scene, and forgive me for judging the whole play by my small role. Thank you for the past, which shows me the work you have done, for the presence, which gives me the chance to participate in the work you are still doing, and for the future, which will reveal the work you have accomplished. When I become discouraged about the evil that is visible, remind me of the heavenly forces working behind the scenes to bring about your plan for the ages. May your praise always be a foretaste of what is to come, when human voices join the chorus of angels in our everlasting worship celebration of your final victory over evil. Amen. Julie really lived out her life for God. Just in those words alone told you her life. You know, we were made to make a difference. So you may ask, how do you make a difference? We can all make a difference in different ways. For example, we all have different likes and dislikes. We work in different workplaces. We hang out with different people. We all enjoy different activities. Max Lucado, in his book, Outlive Your Life, said this: do you realize that you have been given an honest-to-goodness human life? You've been given your life. No one has your version. You'll never bump into yourself on the sidewalk. You will never meet anyone who has the exact blend of lineage, loves, and longings. Your life will never be lived by anyone else. You're not a jacket in an attic that can be recycled after you're gone. You see, what God is saying is, make your life count for him. We can make our lives count for him. We need to have his help make our lives count for him. When I teach from the Word of God, I like to ask powerful questions. Here is an important, powerful question I want to ask you. Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to have your life count? count for God? Only you this morning can answer that question. Now, in order for us to understand that and to be able to wrap our heads around it, we need to look at Scripture. That is always the answer. Now, I believe in reading. I believe in books, and I think it's great. But you know, the real book is this book, the book of the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 2, verse 10. And I'm going to share with you three different translations because they all lift off the page the importance of what it is, how important it is to make your life count for God. Let's start off with the New Living Translation, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. Did you know you were a masterpiece? You are a masterpiece. He has created anew in Jesus Christ, so we can do the good things He has planned for us all along. Now, Ephesians 2:10 in the New International Version. For we are God's workmanship. Now, are you getting the connection already? We're workmanship, masterpiece. He's put us together. No one else has put us together. God has put us together. We are His new creation. And then don't forget that back part that says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's prepared in advance for us to do. I have found a new translation and some wonderful scholars that I have been using. It's called the Easy English Bible, and it reads like this. It is God who has worked in us to make us what we are. God working in you to make you who you are. He has given us a new life because we are united in Jesus Christ. He saved us so that now we can do good things in our lives. And here's the kicker. Those are good things that He has already prepared for us to do. I hope you're understanding. God created you to do good things. That's how you're going to make your life count for Him. People become Christians through God's grace. That's how you receive Christ into your life, is by His grace. By Him sending His Son Jesus Christ into this world. Dying for us. But not staying dead, but He rose to make all of this possible for you and me. See, people become Christians not because we deserve it, but because it's by His grace, not as a result of any efforts or abilities, intelligent choices, personal characteristics, or acts of service. He saved us so that we have a job to do, to make a difference in this life. While no action or work we do can help us obtain salvation, God's intentions is that our salvation will result in acts of service. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? This solves the so-called conflict between faith and works. Works do not produce salvation, but are the evidence of salvation. The Greek word translated do means to walk about in. Now you get this? Are you walking around in Jesus? Are you walking around in Jesus? Now, are you doing this 24 hours a day? Are you walking with Jesus? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I know, I can't do that either. It's hard. But I'll tell you this, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we need to, because that's how we're going to make our lives count for Him. We move ahead in life because of that grace that God gives you, the good works which God prepared for us in advance. A new life that God gives cannot help us express the good things that are going on around us. Or at least it should. We are created by a great God to do great work. We are created by a great God to do a great work. You see, God is inviting us to outlive our lives. Not just in heaven, but here on earth. In other words, making our lives count for Him. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in the New International Version, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." One sentence, Jesus reveals the master plan with four key words to notice. Four key words. The first word to notice is you. Oh, you. Oh, you. All of us. Why us? We are like Jesus' disciples. We're ordinary people. It all starts with you and me and this thing we call our life. What are you doing with your life? That's the question. That's the next powerful question. What are you doing with your life? As you ponder that question, as I'm pondering that question, it reminds me of a story called An Afternoon in the Park. And it goes like this. There once was a little boy who wanted to meet God. He knew it would be a long trip. So he packed his suitcase with Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer, and he started on his journey. When he had gone about 3 blocks, he met an old woman. She was sitting in the park just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink from his root beer, when he noticed that the old lady looked hungry. So he offered her a Twinkie. She gracefully accepted it and smiled at him. The boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating and smiling, but never said a word. As it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was. And as he got up to leave, and after he'd gone a few steps, he turned around and ran back to the old lady and gave her a big hug. And she gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his home, a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before the mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face, and he asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate Twinkies in the park with God." But before her son could respond, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." You see what this story is about? It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about me. What are we going to do with our lives? What are you going to do? Secondly, the second word, witness. What is the role of a witness? Oh, it's to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. So a witness has seen something, right? A witness has seen something. Have you seen anything lately going on in your life with God or around you? If you did, have you shared it with somebody? I mean, that's what a witness does, isn't it? They go out and they tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, Jesus subpoenas us to be his witness. 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, I spoke over Zoom to a group of church leaders in St. Louis, Missouri. They're one of the churches that I oversee, and I'm so blessed with what they're doing. They're a church about 20 to 30. And with COVID, they lost a very important ministry, which was an after-school ministry. But you know, they decided they were going to turn their church around a little bit and do something different that made a difference, that counted for God. I said, okay, what are you guys doing then, since you can't do your after-school ministry? They said, well, we've started to do a food pantry. I said, okay, how do you do that? And so Andy, who was on the Zoom call, he said, well, I'm responsible for it, and what we do is we have people bring food items to the church, and then every Thursday, other people in the church and teenagers help us hand out the food. I said, oh, wow, that's great stuff. Can you tell me about how many families last year you reached? I'm glad you guys are sitting down. You know how many families? 1,500 families have been reached for God. Now that's making their lives count for God. Now I'm not telling you to go out and reach out for 1,500 families. It'd be nice if you did. But that's not the point here. My point is this. We can make our lives count for God if we stay in tune and we witness the way we should for him. The third word to notice is and. A-N-D. Now it's used three times. We must not mistakenly replace it with or. Many of us do, and we neglect the balanced vision of Jesus has for us. Because this is how it goes. Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea? Where is your Samaria? You see, that's what the scripture is saying. And Samaria, and Judea, and all the ends of the earth. And lastly, the fourth word to notice is power. It would be easy to be overwhelmed these days, isn't it? All you have to do is turn on the news, look at the newspaper, to be overwhelmed. Well, we're overwhelmed in this church this week. It's so easy to be overwhelmed. But we are not alone. If you take nothing else from this message this morning, we are not alone. Not now, not ever. We are not alone. We are here to make a difference. We are here to allow ourselves to be used of God out into the community of Danville and to wherever else that you go. We are not alone. And listen to this last portion of scripture. It's powerful. It is something. And what is amazing sometimes to me, and I hope this happens to you. I've been in ministry over 40 years. I've been reading the Bible over 50 years. But never has this verse jumped off the page like it did this week as I was preparing for this message. The Bible says in Luke 24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay there. I'm sorry. I lost my place here. Excuse me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:3, clearly you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. Your letter. I'm a letter. The letter is written not in pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And it's not carved on tables of stone, but human hearts. How do you do with that? How am I doing with that? You will affect someone either positively or negative. I can tell you that. But listen to what that scripture is saying, what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. That we're a ladder, not carved out of stone, but we affect human hearts. And now, the last scripture found in Luke 24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit. That is the person that allows us, that gives us the help, that allows us to be the people we need to be. Just as my Father promised. But stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. This could be our once in history opportunity. These are devastating times we live in. But we are called to make a difference. A difference in this world to the ends of the earth. God has stocked our storehouses with resources to make a difference for God. And he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to make that happen. Max Lucado said it this way. This is our chance to leave a legacy in our time. A once-in-history opportunity to outlive your life. In closing, I would like to share this poem with you called It's Up to You. One song can spark a moment. One flower can wake a dream. One flower can wake a dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clasp lifts the soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame a goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights the room. One candle wipes out darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope will raise our spirits. One touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One life can make a difference. You see, it's up to you.